How you guys doing? You good? So we've been talking about fighting FOMO. And what does FOMO stand for? Fear of missing out. And we're not really talking about anything new. It's just an old sickness with a new name. FOMO is an idea that who we are isn't good enough. What we have is not good enough. And we hear from the media, from friends, from family even sometimes, and telling us that we're missing out on things. We've learned that we need to fight FOMO, right? We can't just live in a world that, like, we have this constant FOMO, feeling like, oh, I'm not good enough, I don't have enough. If we feel that way, if we live that way, we're going to miss out on life. We're going to miss out on the things that matter most. Living a life that's worth value, and we're living a life that means something to people, to God. And if we live that way, we're going to fall right into the enemy's hands, and that's what happened to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had FOMO of saying, we're missing out on what God is really having for us. And that led them to death and led all of us really to a path of destruction. But yet God came and he saved us. He created an opportunity. And so we need to learn how to fight it. We can't live in this way of FOMO. Now, how many of you have had a temptation in your life, right? Something that's, you know, that's something you're not supposed to do, but it keeps on coming at you. As a little kid, actually still even to this day, I love warm, fresh, hot chocolate chip cookies. You guys know what I'm talking about? And it's like that smell is coming through your house and you're just like, oh, I just I need to eat some. I want some right now. And so when I was little, you know, my mom, for some reason, I don't know why she did this. Maybe she was testing me all the time, but she would make her chocolate chip cookies like right before we had dinner. Like she'd make dinner, it was great, and then she put the chocolate chip cookies right in the oven after that. And so, like, you're hungry, but you smell these cookies, you're like, dinner smells good, but the cookies smell great. And you guys know what I'm talking about, right? And what does mom always say? Like, don't have your dessert. You can't have dessert first. Well, you can, but it's not good for you, right? Dessert's not good for you first, because you get filled up on sugar and filled up on, which is wonderful, right? It feels wonderful to be filled up on sugar and everything. You guys know what I'm talking about. You all are filled up with sugar right now, probably. But every time I felt so tempted I got to steal these cookies. I got to find a way to get these cookies. And I've always felt maybe my mom was testing me, like I was saying. Now, before I never did it, I learned self-control. I wanted to yell at my mom. Mom, why are you doing this to me? She knew I loved chocolate chip cookies. But I learned, like, okay, I'm going to get them after I eat dinner. It's still going to be delicious. And I learned how to fight that temptation. Now, before Jesus started his ministry and talking with his people, we talked about a little bit the story last week, he went out to the desert and didn't eat for 40 days, and the devil came to test him. And he went through three tests, and we talked about kind of a little bit of the first one, and tonight we're going to talk about another one of those tests. Before we get going more, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for these students. Thank you that we're here, that you love us so dearly and you care for us. We pray all this in your son's name. Amen. Now, Jesus was being tested by the devil, being tested by his enemy. And it's tough. It's tough whenever you're tested or facing a challenge. And think about being hungry, right? Jesus hadn't eaten for 40 days and he was hungry. And the devil's like, hey, turn these stones into bread. But Jesus is like, no, man does not live on bread alone, but at the word of God. And he's like, no, I'm trusting God with my provision. God's asking me to do this, so I'm going to power through. And then another test, he tested him about kind of popularity and being like, if you do this, you know, then, you know, people are going to know about God. And God's like, no, I'm not going to do this. And then he came to this test, this third test, and trying to get Jesus to feel FOMO, the sense of he's missing out, but he's God. You know, who we are. You know, the devil tries to change our identity. The devil tries to change and kind of trick your mind to thinking that you're something different, that you're not who you really are or who God says you are. And this, let's look. Go ahead and look at the passage here where Jesus is being tested in verses 8 Matthew 4, chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. So what was Jesus being tested about? What was this test? The answer is this. He was tested about power, authority, and influence. And I think we all kind of struggle with that because I think we all want to have a certain amount of power or control. We all kind of want to have a certain amount of influence with our friends or people we're hanging out with or people that we want to hang out with. And authority. We like telling people what to do, right? If you have a younger sibling, you know, they're like, "Hey, go pick up that. Go take out the garbage because I'm your older sibling and I'm too lazy." You know, we like authority. We love power. We love influence. And the world tells you, you got to get this stuff. Who's watched the show Survivor? Has anybody seen the show Survivor? Do you know what that's about? Right? So Survivor is they get all these people come onto the island and they play a bunch of games and challenges and they try to trick people, one another, to be like, oh no, this person's the bad person. This person's like pulling all the strings, is the mastermind. And it's all about power and influence and authority of how can I trick all these people to vote for the other people and not vote for me. In the same way, the enemy tries to test us and trick us in this all the time. And the truth is, if you strive after power, authority, and all these things in your life, right now you're in middle school, so it's probably not super prevalent, but maybe it is a little bit. You know, maybe it's about your popularity with you, or you know, people notice how good looking you are, or you're really smart, or you're really good at band, or you're an athlete, or you have good grades. And maybe you think you need to chase after these things. But to tell you the truth, if you chase after just these things in life, you're going to miss out. You're going to feel leaving empty and wanting more and more and never feeling satisfied. But have you ever heard of this guy before? Let's go ahead and show this picture right here. Do you guys know who this guy is? Have you ever seen him? His name's Smeagol. All right, what about this next picture? Who's this guy? What's the secret about these two characters? They're the same guy. I know, right? Blow your mind. So here's the deal, guys. What happened to Golem? Or what happened to Smeagol? He got this very powerful ring, right? He had this ring, the ring of power, the one ring. And this is in the story of the Lord of the Rings. And this ring is full of corruption and evil and things that can destroy people. And basically, when he found the ring, it consumed him. He wanted just the ring. He'd call it my precious. This is kind of creepy, right? The precious. I need the precious. And that's it consumed everything all his life, right? He didn't care about anybody else. He just wanted power. He wanted the one ring. For you see that power, authority, and influence can make us feel good, right? For a little bit, but eventually it leaves us feeling empty. How many of you have ever eaten a chili or a pepper, right? See the screen real quick, the next picture, a chili or a pepper. Now, is it a good idea to drink water after you have that? What happens when you drink water in a pili? Braden can tell you. What, didn't you do that, Braden? Or was it Tyler? You did it. Oh, there you are. Sorry. You did it, right, Braden? I was one of you two. Thanks a lot, Timmy. Hey, Timmy, good to see you, buddy. So here's the deal. Shh. This is what happens when you eat a chili, a hot chili. There's these chemicals that hit your taste buds that kind of put your tongue on fire. Have you ever had something spicy before? Yeah. You're like, oh, I need something. I need water. And you go for water, and you're like, oh, it's okay for a little bit. And then all of a sudden it gets worse. You're like, oh, I need something else. It's because the compounds in water just intensify the spiciness. So what are you supposed to drink when you have something spicy? Milk. You guys are so smart. Shh. 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 Like I was saying, guys, authority, power, influence, those are good things. But when we strive for these things out of selfishness, out of the things that are not good, out of a dark heart, it can become intoxicating. It can be like that pepper that will just never stop and never stop and never stop. So what do we do? What is the milk that we need to distinguish that? That desire, that intoxication of power and influence. Now here's the deal, guys. The devil used to be an angel, but then something happened to him. He forgot a lot of these things we're going to talk about tonight. And his pride, thinking that he could be better than God, that's what made him fall. And so the key to this is learning the path of humility and learning how to be humble in situations, learning how to be confident and humble with the power that God gives. So here's some ideas. One, here's to a path to humility. One, remember God's gifts. In James, it says this: every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifty shadows. God loves you, and he wants what's best for you, and he gives you gifts, and he remembers you, and he knows you. The enemy will show you something in front of you, and it looks real, and it looks great, and it looks fantastic, but reality is it's going to leave you empty and broken and sad. Because he knows how to manipulate. He knows how to change your mind and your thoughts. Because he knows what you want. So it's learning to and realizing, you know what, there's somebody who loves me much more than I could ever imagine. And that there's a God that cares for me, and he wants what's best for me. And that I don't have to be tricked by the devil and tricked by the things that are false. We don't have to go after those things. Second thing is remember who you are. We talk about this all the time because I find it so important. Because it's something that I struggled with for so long, for so many years. And I hope to get this in your head and that you know it. And that you can kind of get annoyed with me because you're going to be like, oh, I already know what the answer is. Remembering who you are is that you're made in the image of God and you're his beloved. That is your core identity. That is who you are. So many times we get our life experiences, so many times we get our gifts and our talents, ability to find who we are in the core of this. And so when that stops happening, when we're not good enough in our talents, or something terrible happens in an experience, that's not going to shake us, but knowing who we really are is that we're made in the image of God and that we're his beloved. Get that. That's your identity. That's who you really are. There's going to be things that come into your life that are going to be bad, right? Maybe that's already happened to you. Maybe you know what that's like. But do know this, is that there's one who loves you tremendously, that will fight for you, that sacrifice for you. Your gifts and your talents and your abilities, that's part of who you are for sure. But it shouldn't be the core of who you are and what you're meant for. And then the third thing to the path of humility is remember why you are here. Jesus says this. He says, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? In other words, Jesus says, follow me. Do the things that I do. Do the things that are important. Because if you follow the words of Jesus, if you follow the life of Jesus, that will show you the path to humility. In another way, Jesus says this, the greatest in Matthew 23, the greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Jesus is saying this: look how I came down to earth. I came to serve and to love people. That's why I came. And if you can learn how to do that, that will teach you humility. When you're helping someone that's maybe younger than you, or maybe even helping someone that's older than you. You know, maybe you're serving at church or serving on a mission trip, or even maybe serving your parents or people at school, your teachers, and you're showing that you're willing to help them. When I say serve, it means like helping them do stuff around the house or do stuff around the classroom, or help your friend out with whatever is going on, maybe their homework, or sitting by that friend that you know is having a bad day and just trying to make them laugh to cheer them up. being confident in God and serving other people, loving other people. Maybe it's coming down on Wednesday nights before youth group to go hang out with people at the bus stop or people at Ralston Tower just because you know they need a friend. Or it's good to make friends or to talk to people or tell people that they're made in the image of God and that they're loved. So many people don't get to hear that. So many people miss that all the time. Paul wrote it this way of what Jesus did. He said this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. In your relationship with one another, so brothers and sisters, all of us, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Say when Jesus came down, he didn't, you know, do all these magic tricks. He did some miracles and different things like that, but he didn't use it to elevate himself to be better than everybody else. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in the human likeness. Right? He was God. He had everything. It was perfect. But yet God came down to earth to live life with you and me, to live life with a bunch of people. And being found in appearance as man, he humbled himself, he becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross, saying that he lived his life and he ultimately died for you and me. He died because something had to take the place of sin. And this is what happened when Jesus humbled himself, when he said, God, I know what's in front of me. There's this time in this night where right before he knew he was going to die, and he was struggling with it. Because he says, God, not my will, but your will be done. He's saying, God, I know this is hard. God, I know what I'm about to do. And God, I know it's tough. But you know what? I see all these men and women and boys and girls, their faces, and that their destination is to a dark, dark place. But if I die for them, they can have hope and life and love and have a relationship with you, which is the most important thing ever. So I'm going to die. I'm going to humble myself, and I'm going to die for these people. They may never even know who I am, but I'm going to die for them because I love them. And he did that for every single person, whether they believe in him or not, because they're all made in the image of God, and they're all loved by him. And so this is what God did. He says, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, and the name of Jesus, and every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. And every tongue acknowledge that Christ Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So you have a choice. You have a choice right now to think about it. You got so many choices in your future, so many exciting things. I'm so excited for where God's going to take you and what you're going to do. But there's this path of destruction, of power and authority and influence that you're going to push in and shove and get to the top no matter how you want. And you're going to do it, and you're going to realize one day that, how did I get here? What happened to me? Or you can start building the path towards humility and building a path of loving people and serving people and being kind to people and showing who Jesus really is to people. And those are your two choices. Those are the two paths you can get on. Now, if you're going on one path, doesn't mean can you go over to the other path? Absolutely. If you're on the path of humility, you're doing good for so while, and then all of a sudden you find yourself over here, that can happen. And the same thing, maybe you do realize you need hope and you need love and you realize the power of Jesus and you come back over here to humility. Yeah, that can happen too. But you're on a path and you're building the building blocks of what that path is going to look like in the future. And you know what? You have a great story to tell. You have so much potential. I see so much greatness in you. But you're going to have to seize it. You're going to have to become humble in it. And you have a choice. What are you going to be? Let's pray. Jesus, Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you that we're made in your image and that you love us so much, God. There's nothing we can do to earn your love. There's nothing that we can do to lose your love. That you just love us. God, I just pray for all of us in here right now. Lord, teach us to be humble. Continue to show us and mold us to be more like you, and show us what that looks like every day. I just pray for anyone that's struggling with this and seeing the way the world is and being like, I want this, God. I pray that you reach their heart and you talk to them. Thank you for all these students. I love them so much, and it's so great to see them every Wednesday. We pray all this in your son's name. Amen. All right, before you go, I have these fun little stickers here called Fighting FOMO, just to kind of constantly remind you that you got to be fighting FOMO. So I'm going to give these to your leaders, and they're going to give them to you, and you're not going to stick them on the church or on the ground, right? Don't do that. Don't destroy the grounds. But you can stick them on your binders or whatever. And this is just to remind you, I got to fight FOMO. I got to fight that fear of missing out. All right? Does that work for y'all? All right, if you don't hear it anywhere else, you hear it here. I love you. Have fun in small groups. Eighth graders, you can just chill right here. Oh, totally.